This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
My next guest, she's a composer. Ooh, composer. How clever is she? Michaela Berger. Hello and welcome to Sunday Arts.
Thank you, David. So nice to meet you.
So tell us, when did it all start for you? Were you a little kid on your piano, toy piano, or did it come later in life?
I remember writing my first song. I would have been about 10 or 11, but I never sort of acknowledged that I was writing songs until I was a lot older, maybe in my late teens, and then still I was too embarrassed to show anyone. So I only really started performing my songs maybe 10 years ago, which is, you know, I was still very young as I am now. And this recent show is the first time I've crossed both, because I was more of a cabaret performer, cabaret show creator. So this is the first time I've crossed both worlds over, where I've written the music and the story and the show as well.
Wow, so first time.
It's the first time I've done it in this context. Usually I was writing more pop songs before. I really wanted to write something original, and I was encouraged by Ali McGregor, the amazing cabaret artist.
Yeah.
She wanted the show for the Adelaide Cabaret Festival 2018.
Right. Well, Ali's a regular on Sunday Arts Magazine. We have her on once a month. Yes, we know Ali and how talented.
So amazing.
So tell us a little bit about being a cabaret performer and as you said, it was more pop songs. Were they always about you? Because a lot of cabaret shows are quite often about the person.
Not in the very early days when I was learning and discovering cabaret, they were mostly the self, they were about me, but I'd make up a lot of stuff because, sometimes life isn't as interesting as you can make it. But then my first one when I got back from overseas was an Edith Piaf show, so Exposing Edith.
Yep.
And that's been touring the world for about 7 or 8 years. So that was when I focused on someone else. But interestingly, after the first incarnation of it, we had some feedback from, I don't know if you remember Frank Ford.
Yes.
Yeah, he was like my godfather, my godfather of cabaret. And, you know, he's just an amazing mentor. And he said, tell us why you wrote the show. In the show. And I was like, okay. So he actually encouraged me to make the script more personal, which is I went back and made it all more personal and about my obsession with Piaf, which is why I wrote the show with Greg Wayne. And he was also obsessed with music. And it made me realize, cabaret really, it is a personal take on what you're.
And a good subject matter, you're going to get bumps on seats, don't you, when you're writing about Edith Piaf.
Right.
But why did you love her so much? What was it about her? The fact is that she's so legendary to this day and the fact that Paris virtually closed down for her funeral.
Absolutely. I wanted to do the show because of this. I went on exchange when I was 17 to France, and I discovered her then, and I just became obsessed with her, and I didn't really understand what she was singing, and I was like, why am I crying when I don't even know the words? And Greg and I both wanted to present her songs in a way that she may have presented them if she was alive today. So we kind of went at it from a different angle. He's an incredible acoustic guitarist, and the whole show is the 12 songs that we do are all on acoustic guitar. If you close your eyes, you'd think that there's a whole orchestra there.
Wow.
So we wanted to go at a different angle. We didn't want to be a cover band. We didn't want to be a tribute show.
Yep.
So we really made it our interpretation, and I stopped listening to her songs once I started writing, because I don't want to be influenced by her at all. Yep. I just want to make my connection to the songs. And funnily, I think there was such a rawness and realness in the writing of the songs that you can't help but be authentic to them, and then people go, oh, you sound like Edith Piaf. I'm like, well, you know, it's just being authentic to the songs.
Yeah. But what is the story? What's the backstory of that show? You know, was it about her life, or was it about how you felt about her music?
It was more the behind the scenes of her life. So it's called Exposing Edith. So it's actually showing parts of her humanity rather than her as a star.
Okay.
So I'd read these incredible biographies by her half-sister and by a few other people, and the half-sister biography was really personal. It was not always painting Edith in a nice light, but it was really real, and I felt like we didn't know that side of her. We know her public side, and we knew these things about her, but some of the stories, you know, for example, how she had no money even when she was making a lot of money, because she used to give it away. She just gave away all her money.
Yeah.
Just little things like that. And the people that she helped, and everyone that came across her, just said that she was tirelessly always working for her audience. She never slept. She was always just working and creating and writing. And so we wanted to portray this side of her rather than her famous side, or the, you know, we knew she was a bit crazy at times and stuff like that. And her humanity and her love, it's a lot about her loves and how her heartbreak. So it's a more just a, I always say it's almost like a film clip. You see bits of her, then you hear her songs, then you, because I become her, I go into character, but then I become Michaela.
Okay. Now, what's drum theatre? What's your connection there?
Well, we were booked in to perform A Migrant Son, my new show. I think it was, I can't even remember the dates now, because since COVID everything's become a complete blur. What year are we in? I've got no idea. And we were booked to go there, and then, of course, it didn't happen. So we have... We made an amazing recording about a month ago, because I'm in Adelaide at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here to help my parents do some house moving, which is great fun. And
not.
And you know, was that sarcastic? No, it's been great to be here. But because I was here, and the rest of the band and the musical director and our core choir all live in Adelaide, so we did a live recording, and we're now streaming it to the venues who missed out. So it's a great opportunity.
So what is A Migrant Son?
So A Migrant Son is the story of my father. And,
lovely.
Yeah, who is the son of migrants. So he's a first-generation Australian. And this is what interested Ali when I was pitching different shows to her, and she went, no, that one, I want that one. I was like, really? But it's original, it's hard, it's going to be. And she said, yeah. But what interested her was to look at the first generation of migrants and why they are like they are, why they're so hardworking and why they have the qualities that they have. And when I started looking at it, I actually realized that a lot of the qualities that I was seeing in Dad actually had come from the generations before him who decided to leave Greece.
Mm.
So in the show, I flip back and I become my great-grandfather, then my grandma and my dad. And it's a real telling. It's a whole journey through from 1920 to present day. And then, of course, I'm the daughter of a migrant son.
Yep.
So it's just a like a beautiful portrait or painting of the ups and downs and fitting in and not fitting in. And
So what do your parents think of it? Obviously, they've seen it.
A million times.
And what did they say when you told them what you've written about?
Well, I already had this idea for years to write about Dad, because he had such a quirky life, and we always thought he was making up these stories because they were so far-fetched. And then my auntie's like, no, that actually happened. No, we actually, I'm like, how? And the things that he went through that he just went, nope, I'll be fine and just getting on. I won't give anything away, because if I tell this, you know, people will not get the impact in the show. But the things that he went through and then just kept going. So I always wanted to write a show. And then when this came up, I said to him, hey, Dad, the Cab Fest, they want me to write, you know, a show about you. And he went, Why would you do that? That's boring. And but when I sat them down, they were the first people, of course, besides my husband, who had to live through the whole creation of it, but they were the first ones that I sat down and read the whole script to. And I could see he was very relieved because he realized that it wasn't about him. It was the bigger picture. It was about migration in general, and it was about the family, the ancestry, and how we support each other and what each generation does for the next generation. So I think by the end of me reading it, I mean, he kept elbowing mum going, yeah, that happened. I'm like, yes, I know it happened, Dad. That's why it's in the show. Or he'd start expanding it. And I'm like, no, Dad, it's already too long. I'm already having to cut. Don't give me any more stories, please. Enough, you know? But yeah. And now he's just very humble when he sees the show. Yeah. He's very embarrassed and kind of hides at the back He tuts a bit. But yeah, it was very scary for me to do it.
Yeah, Michaela, is it the music? Has it got a Greek theme, feel to it or not?
Look, in the first, I did bring I brought a bouzouki player into the mix, and that gives the feeling of Greece and yep. Greekness. But I would say the songs are more modern in a way. They're almost musical theatre, but not musical theatre. It's very hard to describe the songs. And because each song is from a different character's point of view, there's only one song that I sing as myself, and that's the very last song. Each song has quite a different feel to it. Yeah, so it's not necessarily Greek, but the bouzouki comes in, and I think that gives it the beautiful Greek, the feeling of being on a Greek island somewhere.
Well, I can't wait to see it. You've got to come back to Melbourne and do it to a live audience. But I believe it's for one night only streaming on the 14th of November.
Yes.
Just one night, but at least you've got it, haven't you? You've got the recording now.
We've got the recording now, and we do really hope to come back to these venues. I'm from Melbourne, so my poor husband's still over there, so I'll get back to him soon. But we do hope, because it's always a different experience live. I mean, the streaming, the film has turned out magnificently, but it's still such a nice, and I love to meet people as well. I think I am doing a meet and greet
It's a Q&A season after the screening of it. So that's on the 14th of November, so do you know the website, how to find out more? A Google, Drum Theatre, which is in Dandenong as well. Just Google it and...
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
And you'll find out information because, wow, Michaela, I can't wait to see it. I'm really excited.
Glad.
It sounds really good.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for being on the show today. We are talking about Michaela Berger's A Migrant Son, which is part of Drum Theatre, who were in Dandenong, but you've got to watch it online at present. And it's a Q&A after the show, and it's on the 14th of November. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
You're on Joy 94.9. This is Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.